Hare Krishna. Welcome back to our discussion on the essence of the Gita. We are discussing the four nutshell verses of the Gita, 10.8 to 11. We discussed how in 10.8 Krishna talks about how knowledge about Him is transformational and it brings about the harmonization of the head and the heart in the cause of devotion. Then in 10.9 we discussed how devotion is not just a connection with God, but it's also a spiritual connection with others in connection with God. And now in 10.11, we discuss how God guides and helps those who devote themselves to Him. So the 10.10 describes Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mam Upayanti Te. So Tesham Satata Yuktanam, those who are thus engaged, Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam, those who are devoted with great joy, Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, with great love those who devote themselves, for them I give the intelligence, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Upayantite, by which they can come to me. So here Krishna states that Yenamam, they can come to me. So we all long for love and life eternal. Now, all the movies, all the novels, especially those just centered on romance, which are probably among the most popular and widely read genre of movies and novels. So they usually talk about HEA, happily ever after. And the heart's longing for love is reflected in such an aesthetic expression. We want love and we want that love to go on forever. And the Bhagavad Gita helps us understand how that love can go on forever. It is not by transporting ourselves to an imaginary world in a novel or in a movie, where we identify ourselves with a hero or a heroine and we think that, oh, now I'm going to have my happily ever after. When people watch movies and people watch television and they're basically watching movies, when the hero and the heroine hug each other, people often whistle and cheer. Why? What are they doing? Basically, they are enjoying second-hand pleasure. They're imagining, if I would be there and if I would be doing that, oh, it would be so enjoyable. And if someone else is doing and we are imagining, that is second-hand pleasure. And not only second-hand, quite often when people are watching movies, they also want something to eat, something to munch on, something to chew. Why? Because everything else is imaginary, something should be real. Something should be real. And that's why they want to munch on something, eat something. So, the point is that we try to fulfill our longing for love and joy by entering into an imaginary world created in novels and movies. But the Bhagavad Gita explains that we don't have to retreat into imagination to try to fulfill our longing for love. We can rise to illumination. Don't retreat to imagination means we go down. If this is the level of life, we go down in the sense that we are entering an imaginary world, but we can rise up, rise to illumination. Well, what does it mean? When we understand our identity as souls, when we understand that we are spiritual, that we are related with God, that we have an eternal relationship with God, who is the eternal object of our love, then that relationship becomes the center of our life. And the more we make God the object of our love, the more we experience lasting fulfillment. And beyond this world, the Bhagavad Gita says, is eternal world. Parastasmat bhavonyo vyakto vyaktat sanatanaha. So parastasmat, beyond this world, bhavo anyo, there's another nature. And that nature is eternal. That is the kingdom of God. And that is where, that is what our heart longs for. That is where we belong. And that is what we can attain. If we learn to love God, Krishna says over here that yena mam upayanti te, they will come to me. So the happily ever after that our heart longs for will be fulfilled if we learn to love God and to attain His eternal abode by centering our life on Him. So when we try to serve Him, Krishna says that tesham satata yuktanam, those who constantly try to serve me, dadami buddhi yogam tam, I give them intelligence. So here, the principle of God's reciprocity is talked about. Sometimes people think, is God partial? He blesses some people, He doesn't bless some people. No, God is not partial, He is reciprocal. As we approach Him, so He rewards us. Yetha mam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyaham. In 4.11, Krishna said that, as all people approach me, I reciprocate accordingly. So this is the dynamism of divine love, where we approach God with what affection we have, and God rewards us with illumination. Illumination so that whatever obstacles may come in our life, by the power of love, we can go beyond those obstacles and we can move towards the supreme satisfaction that comes by love. This thing is further elaborated in the next verse. Tesham evanu kampartha ahamagyana jantamaha nashayamyatma bhavastho jnana deepena bhasvataha. Tesham evanu kampartha. Now says, I do anukampa, I give mercy to those people. Who are those? Those who are devoted to me. Aham ajnana jantamaha, the darkness which has come from ajnana, nashayamyatma bhavastho, nashayami. Nashayami means it's destroyed, atma bhavastho. I am situated in the heart, Krishna says, and while being situated in the heart, jnana deepena bhasvataha. Jnana Deepa, with the torchlight of knowledge, Bhasvataha. Bhasvataha means, I am such a person is illumined. Jnana Deepena Bhasvataha. So here, what we are looking for, what Krishna is telling us, is that even if someone is deficient in some capacities, Krishna still loves us. Now, Krishna's love for us doesn't depend on who we are. Krishna's love for us depends on who He is. In this world, we always have some insecurity. We fear that people will not love us for who we are. And that's why we try to put on airs. Now, people try to dye their hair, people try to use facelifts, and people try to put on so many artificial things, by which they think that they will become more attractive, they will be more loved, they will be more attracted, they will become more, others will become more attracted to them. So people try to pull in their bellies, people try to put in artificial dentures, people try to act and speak in more polished ways, people try to appear more learned by using big words. So, in this way, we all try to seek love through externals. Now, there's an ad of a popular Bollywood hero who is seen by a young man. This Bollywood hero is being mobbed by girls who are hugging him, squealing and kissing, and they don't even neglect this other boy. And then this Bollywood star comes and tells this boy, you know what is my secret? It is fair and handsome, so a shampoo. And then this boy also supposedly puts that shampoo, and then he comes in the same, and then all the girls, the bevy of girls come running to him and they hug him and kiss him, and that now such an ad is actually an insult to human dignity. It's an intelligent insult to both male intelligence and female intelligence. Now to portray that a woman will fall for a man just because he has put some shampoo on his hair, now that is an insult to female intelligence. And to believe that men will believe such fairy tales, that is an insult to male intelligence. But unfortunately, such ads do become popular. Why? Because they tap into our inner insecurity. They make us feel that we all feel that we won't be loved for who we are. And that's why we want to put on some airs so that then we will be loved. But God loves us for who we are. And Krishna says that even if there is some darkness, there is some ignorance in our heart, if we just redirect our love towards Him, then what will happen? Krishna says, Tesham evanu kamparth aham agyana jantamaha. That agyana, that darkness which is there, because of ignorance, I will destroy that. So Krishna says that He will uplift us, He will elevate us, He will liberate us. We just need to turn to Him. We just need to turn to Him. So God's supreme power is there by our side if we just decide to go on God's side. Now God respects our free will, and although He wants to help us, He will not interfere with our free will. He will not impose Himself on us. If we seek His help, He's there to help us. It is said that God helps those who help themselves. This is true, but sometimes this saying is misinterpreted or misapplied to mean that if you help yourself, then you don't have to pray to God, you don't have to turn to God. Now God will automatically come to help you. That is a wrong understanding. We all need God's help. So God helps those who help themselves by turning to God for help, by opening themselves to God's help. Just like a doctor helps the patient if the patient helps oneself. But what does the patient help oneself mean? That doesn't mean that the patient takes medicines according to one's own plan. What it means is that the patient takes medicines according to the doctor's prescription and cooperates with the doctor. So to the extent the patient does that, to that extent the doctor will be able to help the patient. And similarly, to the extent we turn to God and we harmonize our life with Him, to that extent God's supreme power will illumine us, will remove all obstacles from within and without and help us to move towards progress and success. So this is the message of love of the Bhagavad Gita, that God loves us and He is ready to elevate and liberate us if we just connect ourselves with Him. So we'll discuss in the last part of this series how this message of love is demonstrated further in the setting of the Gita. Thank you.